Now, protests have been held as puberty blockers. The ban has been extended to Northern Ireland. The protests took place in Dublin and Belfast. It's a temporary ban, we're told, on the sale or supply of puberty blockers. And as I said, it's extended into Northern Ireland. First Minister Michelle O'Neill has defended Sinn Féin's position after criticism of the party's stance. She said her party wants the best possible medical support for children and young people who need trans health care. Michelle O'Neill and Deputy First Minister Emma Little-Pengilly approved a request from the Health Minister to extend the ban without wider Stormont executive approval. The matter was dealt with by way of urgent procedure. This follows a pattern in Britain, of course, or in England at least. And also, we heard commentary from the Health Minister in the Republic saying at this point there is no plans for a ban. Devin Kane joins me on the programme now, Arts Officer with Foyle Pride Committee. Thank you so much for joining us, Devin. Good morning to you.
Morning to you as well. Thank you.
Right. So what issue do you take with the extension of this ban, albeit temporarily?
I think the thing that a lot of people need to understand is that this is not a ban on puberty blockers as a whole. This is a ban on puberty blockers to treat gender dysphoria. Puberty blockers are still being prescribed to cisgender under 18s to treat things like precocious puberty and endometriosis. The ban is only for gender dysphoria. This has always been about impeding the transition of young trans people.
What age typically, and I know there's nothing typical really necessarily, but at what age are young trans people most likely to start taking puberty blockers?
Puberty blockers can just be taken kind of like, you know, in the stages before puberty kind of progresses, because it blocks the hormones, estrogen and testosterone. So just kind of, it definitely ranges, but there's always input from medical professionals when it is being prescribed.
Do you have any concerns, Devin, about, you know, giving under 18s puberty blockers or even, you know, younger teens puberty blockers? Obviously, you know, regardless of whether it's about gender or whether it's about voting or travel or whether we love our parents or whatever it might be, you know, we are not necessarily best placed to make those decisions as young people. So I don't want this necessarily just be a conversation about, you know, trans issues, but more generally speaking, you know, we protect young people by saying, look, you're not necessarily of an age that you can make a proper qualified decision. And there are consequences for the later in life, of course, for the long-term use of puberty blockers.
Well, I think this is the thing, is that in the argument between puberty blockers and puberty, puberty is the one that has the more permanent changes. The rate of people changing their mind about taking puberty blockers is between 1.4% and 3.5%. And that isn't even a regret rate, because once you come off them, the changes stop. Like, you progress onto a normal puberty again?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you say, for instance, if you're a male and you take puberty, you're born male, you take puberty blockers, your genitals do not develop as they might ordinarily. And then in adulthood, that doesn't catch up, that doesn't reverse.
Well, again, the rate for people changing their mind is less than 4%.
Yeah, okay. And as you say, these but the thing I want to be sure of as a parent, Devin, is that whatever decision we make is actually the right decision for children, if you know what I mean. Like, I know there's a lot of adults, and I suppose they can't necessarily advocate for themselves, advocating for what they think should happen to children. But we is it not advisable at this point that we just pause for a moment and just make sure absolute certain that what we are doing is best for children? Because just keep in mind, obviously, you can't get a tattoo if you're under 18. You can't vote. You know, you can't use a sunbed. Do you know, so we do things, whether people agree with it or not, to protect under 18s. Should we not just pause and make sure that what we're doing now is perfectly correct?
I don't think so. To be quite truthful, gender dysphoria leads to severely, like, detrimental impact on your mental health. This ban will cost the lives of young trans people, and I think that is the most important thing to consider when we're talking about this. there's a lot of demonization of puberty blockers, but only in the case of, I know you're saying, like, let's not just talk about it from a trans perspective, but it is from a trans perspective because it is only being banned
for transgender young people.
Yeah,
but when I said that, just to be clear, that was in relation to decision-making. I never said that as specific to this medication, because I do think you have to sort of, I don't think it's in terms of decision making and making sure it's the right thing and how well a young person might know themselves or what they want or how they might feel. We have to make sure that, you know, we don't apply the same rules in other areas of life because it's a trans issue. And I know it's emotive, and I'm not interested in these extreme arguments where people knock heads. What I want is a proper convo, not between me and you necessarily, but societal conversation, to we ensure properly that what we are doing is protecting children, all children, best.
I mean, if that was the case, again, in terms of puberty blockers, if that was the case, it would have been banned for cisgender children too, if there was real concern about it. Puberty blockers have been used since the 80s.
For boys and girls, you know, it's say, for instance, if a girl, and I don't use the medical terminology, but if she gets periods early, she could take these until such time as it would be normaler for her to get periods. Puberty blockers for trans kids is in cases, right, deferring their development and in some cases stopping their development ever happening. So the consequences for a trans kid taking puberty blockers versus one who might be taking one to delay the onset of periods, the consequences are very, very different. And we need to make sure, do we not, that we are fully certain that it's the right thing to do for that child.
Again, all of the concern about the long-term effects of puberty blockers have no foundation.
So you're saying a child born a boy who takes puberty blockers throughout his years of puberty will develop a, in inverted commas, normal penis.
But the point of puberty blockers is that he doesn't want to.
Yeah, but you says there's no consequences. You says it's reversible for the small percentage that is. I understand what you're saying, but in terms of breast development and what have you as well, the consequences, you can't undo a lot of the consequences of puberty blockers. It's important that we have all the facts out. I'm not saying this is a reason why they shouldn't be given, because I'm not interested in that kind of discussion. I think that's getting us nowhere. But I'm saying we can't also pretend that taking them, a trans child taking them, there is no consequences for it, to it. I mean, obviously the consequences are wanted, but if someone changes their mind, it just seems, it's just putting, my concern with it is that how capable a child is to make that decision.
But it's not just the child that's making the decision. The input comes from the parents. It comes from medical professionals. And the thing is,
but I don't trust parents either, Devon. I don't trust parents either.
So who do you trust? is the thing.
I trust an individual to make a decision when they're of an appropriate age to make it. That's what I trust. I trust an individual. I trust you, Devon, when you were of an age to make any decisions in life about anything. I trust you. I don't necessarily trust your mum and dad or, you know, your GP who might have a certain agreement with a certain medical company or something. Do you know what I'm on about? That you're the person I trust. And unfortunately, that would probably mean if I were to follow that through, withholding the right for someone to take such a medicine until they're of an age to make that decision themselves.
The thing is that there's a lot of concern about this, about the decision making of children taking puberty blockers, but puberty blockers aren't being handed out easily.
No, of course not.
Gender affirming healthcare is, as it is, extremely difficult to obtain even without this temporary ban. I think it was last year less than 100 children in England were given puberty blockers. So, you know, this isn't a large percentage of the population anyway.
But I care equally for them, you see, Devon. That's the point, right? Just because it's a small amount of children doesn't make it less important to me, because I genuinely believe...
Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know that, but I believe all children should be cared for as best as absolutely possible. And, you know, I know you're not saying because it's a small amount it doesn't matter. I don't want it to sound like that's... I'm saying that's what you're saying. I know that's not what you're saying. But my point is I would want to be absolutely certain that every other avenue is explored to ensure that this is the right decision. And even if that were to happen, I'm not comfortable with other adults making that decision for another individual until such time as I believe they're mature enough to make that decision themselves.
So what's the alternative if these children are under 18s, aren't allowed to make the decision, and their mental health is negatively impacted? The suicide rates amongst trans young people is already at like an all-time high. So,
okay, so if a child born male takes puberty blockers from the age of 10 through to 22, what has that achieved by the age of 22 then in terms of affirming gender?
So it has delayed the typical puberty for a male, which means that things like a deepening voice and body hair and stuff have been delayed, which would contribute to dysphoria.
But they will still have a penis, though.
Yeah, but that isn't the full picture. Multiple things can contribute to dysphoria. Things like your voice, your face, body hair.
But fundamentally, and I know because I've done some reading on this from different areas, by the way, not coming at this from one point or another, but fundamentally, it's very hard for a trans person, even if they've had surgery, it's very hard for them to overcome the fact that that part of the body doesn't align with the rest of them. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, the puberty blockers doesn't eliminate that, because it all often, it still comes down to whether there's been reconstructive surgery there or whatever. It still is, there's also an awful lot of an emotional focus on that. So my point being is that the puberty blockers work in terms of, you know, delaying breast growth or hair growth or the changes to one's voice, right? But it doesn't change the fundamentals of the biology, which remains a struggle for trans people throughout their adult lives.
Well, you know, obviously that there, it is a point to consider, but I do think it is also important to remember that not every trans person is seeking reconstructive surgery in terms of their genitals. So that isn't the be-all and end-all. And dysphoria, as I've said, has come, like, it comes from multiple places. I'm a trans person myself, so, you know, I have personal experience with it. Puberty blockers stop the development of things which contribute to dysphoria. So that alone would, sorry, lost my train of thought there, but that alone would, you know, improve and alleviate the feelings that are associated with gender dysphoria.
Yeah, okay, I get you. Yeah, as I say, you know, I don't, sort of the J.K. Rowling versus the J.K. Rowling versus the, you know, someone with a different point of view. I'm not interested in that stuff because I don't think that gets us anywhere. I just really hope that we drill down and look at everything that is available to us and make sure that all children are cared for to our absolute maximum, but to make absolutely sure that whatever decisions we make, that it truly is the right thing for the child. Because regardless of their views and opinions, we do know that you have to get to a certain age or a certain level of maturity, and that necessarily is not linked with age, before you can make decisions that will impact you for potentially the rest of your life in a positive way or in other ways as well. Devon, I appreciate your time this morning, and we'll follow that story with interest. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. That's Devon Kane, Arts Officer, Foyle Pride Committee, 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts. On this morning's Your Voice, Your Community, we talked to Grace Deaney and Margaret Nelson. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning to you, Margaret.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you, dear?
Very well, thank
Very
you.
Good indeed. Both of you are from Mara Iscara, a vibrant women's group in Pobble Iscara. Give me a chance.
I'm just helping.
Are you bossy?
No, oh, not at all. Anybody that knows me would disagree with that.
I'm only joking. Thanks for your help. Iscara in Falkara. Right, okay, so talk to us about the group. Shall I start with you, Grace?
Yeah, just as you say, with Pobble Iscara, they're a community resource centre that was built in Falkara in 1998, and they've been going there doing stuff for the community, and for the past over 12 years I was working there. I was the manager at the time. Kathleen Lafferty said she would like to get a women's group going, so of course I took over, and it's been going since. We started off with four people at the time, and now we've got about 45 ladies.
Wow,
in our group.
45.
Yeah, yeah. It started
amazing.
Off as a social group actually,
yeah,
but the men didn't come. It was only ladies, so it's developed into a ladies group now.
Excellent. Yeah. And Margaret, Is it Wednesdays most of the activities are on?
It was always Wednesdays to start off with. I'm just a member. And sorry. It was always Wednesdays to start off with. And it got busy and Grace does have different activities on. And then we decided then that we would move it to a Thursday also. And I do a bit of line dancing on the Thursday.
Brilliant. And were you one of the original four or did you hear the crack was mighty and decided to join in?
I heard the crack was mighty and I joined in. I came back from England a couple of years ago and met Grace. And Grace said, you should come to the ladies group. And I'm not a very outgoing person, but I had nothing else in my life at the time and I decided I'd give it a try and I never looked back.
Because we have kind of gotten to a situation, or maybe it was always the case, I don't know, that we don't know our neighbours or our friends or people in the community that we probably see but don't know. I would say you've got to know a lot of people, Margaret, through this, haven't you? Especially coming back from England.
Exactly. And yeah. I didn't know, even some of my neighbours I didn't even know. But since I went to the ladies group, I find that it gets you out of the house for a start off and then you're meeting other people. You think you're the only one maybe living in your own and being lonely or something like that. But then you're meeting other people that are exactly in the same. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great thing for people my age, you know, which is, you know, like
43.
Yeah, well, my early 70s. And like there's loads of other younger women that I would be probably one of the oldest people there, you know, but there's loads of younger people, you know, joining all the time and do days out.
Well, I'll talk to Grace a little bit about that, Grace, because, you know, especially with so many people and people of different ages and what have you in different circumstances, you don't want it to get stale either, do you? So you talk to us about some of the stuff you do and you mix it up quite a lot too, don't you?
We do mix it up because, as you say, we have women of different ages, different interests, you know, and I do like to give them a wee nudge sometimes to get them out their comfort zone, you know. And again, they do trust me and we have things going, you know, we have mystery tours maybe, or I might have a mystery day, whereas I might think they might not want to come, but they'll come then to the mystery days.
Get them on the bus and then worry about it. Yeah,
and it's worked so far. It's been very successful.
All right, okay. And as well too, you know, I mean, we focus on age and all that kind of stuff, but Margaret, I presume there's a possibility whereby someone with your experience with line dancing, you know, there's a lot of young people are interested in line dancing and you can show them some of your skills and if they've got something that they can help you with, you can exchange that knowledge and information.
Well, that's just kind of just, I just ended up in it by accident because it kind of just started off. We thought, what could the ladies do? And some of them said, why don't we do some dancing? And it took off from there. And I said, well, you know, around here, I said, since I came back, any time I go anywhere, you know, like, they'll say, oh, let's do some line dancing. And I says, and the only dance that they did any time I said was the electric slide. So I say, right, we'll do, I'll teach you all the electric slides. So if you go to a wedding or anything, you can get up and do it. So it went from there. And
brilliant. Okay. Grace, as well as the sort of community and the coming together, and as you say, you know, 40, 45 women, it's amazing. And there's a focus on fun and day trips and all that kind of stuff. There's going to be some shared knowledge and support there as well. And I presume there comes times too where there are, you know, particularly issues relating to women that probably a little bit more serious, that it's a good opportunity to talk through them.
Yeah, we have. We have had various talks maybe about domestic abuse, which it can they can happen in any kind of relationship. You know, bullying can happen anywhere. Mm. And we might have a lighthearted talk. Now, I know it's hard to say lighthearted talk about it, but at the same time, you know, you don't get into depth. But people then can have information if they want to go into depth about it. They know where to get the information.
It's the right way to do it.
Yeah, that's the way it is. So we have in various health, we maybe have MABs coming in to talk about managing money. So we have that as well as the fun aspects.
And I presume too, do you, Grace, have people, maybe people living on their own or with their partner on their own? And I think when you know the people around you, it sort of feels like you're more secure.
Yeah, well, I mean, what happened to me now, I became a widow 2 years ago, so I could see then the other side of the group, the support that I got from the ladies was great, because, I mean, it's a huge void in your life, so you have to as I say, do or die, and it did help with the support. So, I mean, but not everybody's in that position. You know, we have just different people. With
I think the way it is you set it up so that there's something for everyone. And if it's relevant to you, it's relevant to you. And if it's not, it's not. And, you know, it's not too heavy if you're talking about something like domestic violence. But then if someone, if it triggers someone that goes, wow, okay, this is a safe space for me to say something, it can accommodate that as well.
Yes, definitely. That's what it was. And it's worked very well. I think the key to it is the ladies themselves, obviously. They're a lovely bunch and they're up for anything, really. And, I mean, I'm always looking for ideas. Anybody has any skills or anything? If I'm talking to anybody, you know, I'll say, well, could you come in and talk to us?
Because you do craft workshops and stuff as well,
don't
you?
We do. We have lots of stuff, you know.
Exercise classes. That's interesting.
Chair aerobics. And, again, a lot of dancing. Margaret specialises in the line dancing. But we have had other dancing. We've had belly dancing, which was great. You know, salad
dancing.
Well,
I could
dancing.
Do that.
Yeah, well.
I'd just flop it over the front of my trousers and wiggle.
Yeah, well, there is that. That's a different class, maybe. But we have waltzing.
What does that mean, Grace? You better not be getting naughty.
Not at all.
I hope you're not.
But don't turn up on a Thursday expecting that, because I don't think, I don't think you'll.
But it goes. It's
all straight-laced.
All straight-laced and electric sliding.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know there was different types of line dancing, Margaret. Are there many?
Thousands.
There is, what is the one that you say, for instance, there's a country star on and I think it's a wonderful sight, right? And you see the people in the line and they do that, right?
Well,
and they're all doing it in unison. Has that got a name on it?
No, that's just line dancing. I went to one on Friday night in the hotel in Gorahork, and Shaney Cramsey was playing there. He plays there at weekends. And we danced for about 2 hours. Non-stop, and we did line dancing all the time.
Wow.
You see, that's what people don't realise. You can do line dancing to any sort of music.
Of course you can, yeah.
If you know some, and we did about 3 line dances.
Yeah.
But, you know, to the different music all the time.
Excellent.
See, people think, oh, maybe there's only one line dancing, if you know, like waltzing years
ago. Well,
that's
what I asked you. I says, what are the names of them? And you says, well, line dancing's line dancing. So you've got the electric slide.
Yeah, we have the electric slide. On the Friday night, we did the electric slide.
Yes.
We did the Cowboy Charleston. We did Blue Roses. I could name you.
Wow, okay. And people know, right, it's Blue Roses time. And
since we started the line dancing back in the club, like last year, we did the line. We did it on a Thursday because, you see, Grace always had the Wednesday for the ladies' club, but some of the ladies don't dance. You have to remember that some people are not really into dancing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted them to dance for their health and for my own health.
Of course, yeah. Because you're open, you're stepping, and you're active.
You're
and
getting your exercise without even thinking you're getting exercise.
And even too, and I think as someone gets older, Margaret, the benefit to the balance, more generally speaking.
Exactly. And I tell the ladies, you have to get the step, you have to learn the steps so you're using your brain, and you have to get it into your head. Then you have to get it to your feet, and then you have to hear the music. So, because people say, oh, line dancing, oh, I've seen that, oh, that's easy, you know.
Yeah.
So get up and do it.
So, Grace, the main bulk of activities are Wednesdays then, are they?
Yeah, they are for, you know, I mean, we have a vibrant centre there as well, Public Scarra, they would run, you know, and because we're in the Gaeltacht, there's a lot of stuff through Man the Gaelic, you know, we have to have that. So we have other stuff going, but Wednesday morning would be the women's group. Yeah.
And big attendance already. People dip in and out.
People dip in and out.
Yeah.
Of course they
exactly,
do.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's always, where are we going? Where's our next trip?
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to come up with ideas of different trips and stuff for them. Yeah.
Like if anybody's not interested in the dancing, they can come on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And
of course, the chair aerobics kind of has the same function as well too as the dancing to some extent in terms of help. But I think just getting together.
Getting together.
A caller says, what's the name of this group and do they have a Facebook page? Yes, it is Mara Iscara and Pubble Iscara in Fulcara.
Yeah. Yeah, Pubble Iscara is the name of the centre.
Yeah.
We're there in Fulcara. And then the group is Mara Iscara.
And it's a great centre, but it's mostly Irish. It's kind of run under Udris.
Yeah, it's Irish. Yeah.
And but that doesn't put anyone off.
Not at all.
I went to an Irish class there last year.
Yeah.
And it was great.
And do you line dance in English or Irish?
Well, we can actually... Irish. Well, we can actually do both. We did have some Irish music. You play Irish music, it's the same thing. It would be a good way of learning as well.
Yeah, and it's great, isn't it, to see a community resource that's there that's used all week round, right? Yes. But, I mean, obviously we're focusing on the fun that can be had there on a Wednesday morning. Yeah. And if people are hearing about this for the first time, I would say you just walk in the door and it's very welcoming.
Yes, definitely.
That's the feeling I'm getting, that you make sure that it's, come on in, another one.
Come in, because, you know, you come in as a stranger and you leave as a friend. You know, that's really our motto.
I mean, we should have these everywhere, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm.
It's a great centre, you know, and it's a shame because a lot of people, even in Falkirk, wouldn't even know it's there.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing here today.
That's exactly what we're
doing. Yeah, it's most important that people know it's there.
And I suppose, Margaret, your life probably would be very different if you hadn't come into contact with us, you know, because as someone moved back from England, you know.
Moved back from England. I have no family. I have plenty, I have great family support round about me, but I have no family of my own, so I'm on my own.
Yeah. And but you're not now?
No.
I'm not now because exactly. I go to the group. Not to mention the ladies, and, you know, they're all a great bunch of people.
And not to mention the friendships that are formed from the group.
Correct.
Okay. And you're here today talking on the radio. Now, we didn't think that this time last year we would be here.
Yeah, but she only knew that because I was presenting. If it was Donal or Lee Gooch, she wouldn't have come.
No.
She looks very nice as well. Was that for me?
I just come to see you. I tell you, Grace, I have two men in my life, Greg Hughes and David James. So there you go.
Oh, right. Well, that was going so well. And then it took an awful turn. No, you're perfectly right. Listen, Margaret, do you know what's, and Grace and Margaret, but particularly you, Margaret, I think, you know, yours is there's an awful lot of people feel very lonely. And we all got a taste of that in COVID, didn't we? We all got a taste of what that loneliness and isolation feels like. But there's people then that continue to live in that way. And if you continue to live in isolation and loneliness, it can affect your mental and your physical health.
Correct.
And, you know, we need to get those people involved in something.
Yeah.
Because what happens then is, you see, you become institutionalized. And the longer you're on your own,
I'm the kind of person that wouldn't come out.
Yeah, you know, you said
and
that,
I
yeah.
I can stay in the house and, like, you know, just be odd, you know.
Just watch Tipping Point all day after I come off.
Listen to the radio.
The longer you stay in the house, then the worse it gets.
It is true. Yeah, and that's so for any age as well. I think sometimes we associate isolation and loneliness with older people. Yeah. It's cross-generation. Yeah. Look at the impact isolation of young people had on them. Do you know what I mean? So it's all of us. Right, brilliant. So, we are talking to Grace Deeney and Margaret Nelson. They're from Mara Iskara. Yeah. It is a group that holds their Wednesday mornings and Thursdays sometimes in Pobble Iskara in Falkara. Yeah. And it's been absolutely wonderful having the two of you in. Grace, is there anything that you had written down that you wanted to add?
Because
she came in here like with
notes.
25 post-its stuck all over the place. There was one stuck on Margaret's face for a while.
One in her back.
Off.
I know. No, thank you very much. No, I mean, we do depend a lot on funding as well.
Yeah.
And would like to thank DLDC. I mean, we've got money from them there, from SITCAP. There we got €3,000 for laptops. So we bought laptops for the centre. Yeah. So, I mean, that's our biggest amount, but we do get a lot of funding.
DLDC, their name keeps coming up in little things like
this.
They do great work, don't they? Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, Margaret, continued happiness and fun and line dancing. Margaret Nelson, thank you so much for joining us. And Grace Deeney. And I think maybe on behalf of all the ladies, Margaret, a big thanks to Grace.
A big thanks to Grace,
for what all she does. Especially, I know you got something out of it.
I do get a lot.
But your big life change over the last couple of years as well.
Yeah.
To keep that commitment going is very, very impressive and should be recognised.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Grace Deeney, Margaret Nelson, thank you so much. Safe journeys
home.
Thank
you so much.
Bye. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It is not Monday night or Saturday morning or Wednesday. It is Thursday. So you're on Thursday nights, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday. It used to be Wednesdays.
Used to be Wednesdays. Thanks, Greg.
I'm able to get that wrong then. We're joined by Paul McDevitt and Jimmy Stafford, presenters of Monday Night Sessions and part of our extensive judging panel. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Jimmy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, everyone.
Right, okay. So Irish Music Month is back again for September. It's part of, we're part of it. Highland Radio has been on the search for a new local hero and we have our four finalists. Now, just to let you know how this works, Each of the four acts that we're going to go through right now will receive €650 plus an allowance of €225 for their tech crew. That's a prize of €875. Now, they will join us. Do you want me to turn those headphones down a bit?
Yeah,
are they okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
They will join us for a special show from Hungarian Theatre next Friday. We think we're going to run it between 10 and 12, where they'll perform their entries and another track at least, have a chat, and then we'll go through a judging process whereby we select a winner. And that winner joins 21 others from right across the country who will then be reviewed.
I've lost the will to live.
And that'll be whittled down to six. I told Caroline I'm going to do this different next year. But anyway, we've got four. We're going to select one. They go into 22. Then there's a grand finale of six. But all along the way, there's some fantastic prizes and all that kind of stuff. Right, so anything either of you want to add to that omni-shambles that of an introduction?
Well, we were overly blown away, equally blown away by the amount of entries this year. And it's just been amazing. I think it was 72. Just unbelievable, because at the start we thought it was going a bit slow because it was a short sort of cut-off, and then the next thing it just exploded.
Yeah, it was brilliant in that regard.
Yeah, that was brilliant, that's right.
Right, so should we go to our first finalist?
Yeah.
Okay, right, this is Zoe McCauley.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Zoe after we hear a clip of her song.
But then I think of the grander scheme. Won't think about every place I've been. Cause I'm just a girl with a dream. Cause we're just people floating along, and I'm a person with a song. It gets better, wait and see. It goes quicker than a dream.
All right, that is Wait and See by Zoe McCauley. Zoe, believe it or not, is just 16 years old, and she's a singer-songwriter from Dunloe. Jimmy, I'll start with you. A wonderful sound, and not surprising to hear that amongst her influences, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan. It's a mature
Cassidy.
Sound, isn't it?
Absolutely. And Greg, you know what? The one thing about this, I was in the car listening to a lot of these songs as well as I was driving to Cork last weekend. As were, you know, the six judges, we all listened separately. What struck me, we didn't know the age of these people.
Yeah.
Right? That was the
not
first
a factor.
Thing. Yeah, so it wasn't a factor at all. And then when we read the bio of the person, because I didn't read the bio, so I listened to the songs first and I realised she was 16 years of age. What a mature voice. Mm. The harmonies, just everything in there is absolutely beautiful. And just, it's a beautiful song. When it goes, it starts slowly in, and then 30 seconds in, you're into this beautiful, just the harmonies and the whole lot. So, yeah, worthy number one entry into the four.
And some of Zoe's other influences are the Beatles, Nirvana, the Smiths, Queen, and, you know, it kind of makes you want to listen to the rest of it, Paul, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, I know that's the song that's selected for entry there, but it'll be interesting to see how those other artists influence more of her music.
I would love to hear more from her, certainly. I look forward to hearing more from her because, as Jimmy said, but there's uniqueness in her voice, which I love. But one of her influences, Adrienne Lenker, right? So that popped out at me and I was going, well, I never heard of Adrienne Lenker. So it turns out she's a 33-year-old American singer-songwriter. So I've done some of her stuff. And I was like, right, I get where you're coming from. Do you know? So I love that.
Yeah.
I love when people don't go with the normal run of the mill.
That's it.
They pick names, you go.
Well, obviously
that,
her depth of and love of music is deeper than maybe your average.
Absolutely.
And also, too, when we talk of people that influence an artist, the best artist then, it's their sound.
Yeah.
But you can kind of get sort of resonance of.
I hear Eva Cassidy in there,
exactly,
in the background. Yeah. And, you know, and like, this is an opportunity for Zoe now next Friday on the stage, Reagan and Greenland Theatre, to perform three songs live. I know you're going to talk about that later, but just to hear that, I'll be playing these songs in full tonight on my show as well. So I'm going to play each one tonight. And we'll give listeners a chance during the week. But next week, live performance of that song will be extraordinary to hear, you know.
Yeah. And one thing I think that's come from these four finalists, and we'll hear from our next finalist in a moment, and I was trying to explain this a little earlier on, that I believe that all four acts have the ability to be big.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But often in music, the difficulty is because not all stations are as supportive as music as we know we are. And I'll tell you how you can judge that is because they have specific days dedicated to Irish music, right? It should be all the time, like we try our best to do here. But Paul, they're one break away from doing very, very well.
Absolutely.
Like we saw from some of the other acts that entered in previous years this competition.
Well, you know, when you were down in Dublin at Aris Neutron and we were all there, Brad Heidy won it last year. Now, and I'm not being personal, but it didn't do a lot for me.
No, nor me neither, funny
enough.
It didn't
do a lot for me.
Yeah.
But you see, when I heard him up on that stage and that day we were in Dublin,
he was
amazing.
A star.
He was
a star.
Absolutely amazing. So there's a whole lot there. And there's a package, you know yourself. It's okay being a singer, being a songwriter. You know, there's a package which involves, and I believe it involves radio experience, you know, talking, interviewing, TV experience, whatever you want, and having stage presence, having that. Just that package. Yeah.
And we'll be videoing this next week as well, so we kind of need to see that as well.
Yeah.
Because you'll be performing live, the winner, down in front of, you know, Music Mogul's fans. Mm.
Yeah.
And you need to... There's more to it than just music now, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Should we move on to our next... should we set them up first and then listen to them, or listen to them and then talk about it? What way do you want to do it, Jimmy?
Listen. Yeah,
play. All right, okay. Here's Tessio.
Yeah.
This is another artist, I think, on the cusp. Here's Tessio.
Take it up to us.
That's called Hang It. Tessio's a singer-songwriting duo from Derry. In terms of the balance of the sound on that song, that recording, I'm not sure it does them justice. I think we're going to hear really how good they are next Friday. Am I being a bit controversial here? I just think next Friday morning we're going to actually really hear how good these guys are.
Yeah, well, we want to talk about
They have Jude McCandless and Callum Feeney. That's who Tessio are, and we've had them on the programme. They actually also won the Letterkenny Busking Festival this year. But everybody, the judges of the festival, said the same thing individually when we passed them. They had something.
Mm.
There was something magic, unique, likeable. They seemed to be enjoying themselves. They're very talented. And, you know, when you hear the combination of... They described it as the Everly Brothers, the Proclaimers, and Simon and Garfunkel. I love that coming back again. Mm. I love that harmonies, and they're very, very tight in the harmonies. I just think they have a massive future if that's what they want to go. Definitely.
Yeah, and I think when you interview them, Greg, you'll enjoy them because they've the Derry accent. They're from Derry. You mentioned that, but they're good. Two good characters as well. And you're right. To see them live perform is very different. They gel. Like I've two lads with their harmonies just come together.
It's instinctive. Like, they're striking.
It's point. Millisecond, isn't it?
Yeah,
Paul?
They're
singing together. So look,
and they are also. We talk about the break. Like these, they are, reasonably well established as well on the live circuit. They've supported Hot House Flowers, the four of us. Again, though, this is about, I think, whether people like it or not. It's about traction with the wider music listening population.
Yeah.
And that's going to come through radio play.
Well, they'll appeal to young people.
You can do it organically, right?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, this is where the radio play really comes into it. And that's what this competition offers, is to get your music into an awful lot of ears.
Yeah, and they've really only started coming together the last 12, 18 months. They've solo acts as well. Like, you know, Callum has been in Manchester working and studying. So they're really just starting to bring that together now as well. So even though they've recorded... But interestingly, they love playing the original stuff, which is their own. But if you ask them to do a cover... Wow, they do some amazing covers as well. So a lot of bands, you know, love doing covers, others don't, but they have a mix of both. So interesting act, but best of luck to Tessio and a name to watch as well.
Yeah, for sure. Zoe McCauley, our first finalist. Tessio, a duo from Derry, our second finalist. We're going to be hearing about the Other two artists that will be making up our final four after we take this quick break. Sorry, very dry and some sun. Now, all four of our finalists bring different things to the party. And all of them, as we've said from the beginning, and I'm not just saying this, I believe, because I listen to a lot of music, but I'm not as into music as my two guests, Jimmy and Paul, but I listen to a lot of music. And I think the most commercial of our finalists, and I mean sort of, I think all of them can do very well, but I think the most commercial, and that's a compliment, is Owen Ferry. Because as far as I'm concerned already, Owen Ferry is a pop artist, Jimmy, if that makes sense, and people will hear it. So let's listen a bit to Owen. This is his track, Miss You.
I know that every time I try to call you, won't answer the phone. 'Cause I'm still trying to cope with the fact that you're really gone. I have videos, photographs, and letters, but they don't make me feel much better. 'Cause I know I miss you.
Owen Ferry, Miss You. So, I mean, that's a ready-made pop track. I would slightly change the synth drums in that bit, just to bring it bang into 24, but very melodic and a very good song.
But we were just saying, he pointed the headphones. It's completely, when you hear it in the headphones now, because I had it on different stereo systems, it's even another level up. All the songs are. It's brilliant, the stereo song. So that's where the theatre comes in next week again, to hear that sound and how he recreates that. Would be an important thing as well, but it caught me straight away.
Paul, Owen on the cusp, I think.
Yeah, Owen's been about for a few years, even though...
But he's only 18.
Yeah. He's only 18, exactly, and he has, you're rightly so, commercially, he's got the potential. That's a song that I would have no problem saying it could get airplay in every radio station.
100%. It could be played on every breakfast show in the country.
Absolutely,
could,
and once again... You can fall on the different, you know, like, I could get away with it on a Saturday because it's a brand new song, it's a dancey song. You'll get away with it in your show. Yeah. Lee could get it away with it in his. Ivan could get it away with it in his.
But what the most important thing is, the listener would recognise the song instantly, maybe turn the radio up and know the melody and know the chorus, the hook. Because sometimes we try and do stuff differently when actually there's a tried and tested system there.
Yeah.
Get a good melody, get a good hook. Make it radio friendly.
Yeah, I think as well, Greg, just as like there were six of us involved in this, right? We all listened separately.
You keep saying that.
And
it just wasn't us.
I know, we know that.
No, I know you had to decide and vote, Greg, right? But I mean,
hey, come here. I might claim that, yes. Or distance myself from it, but no.
I think we whittled it down.
It was a full democracy.
We came to 10
it?
And then we came to 6 and then we went and we came back and we all more or less agreed. And there's some fabulous stuff in there, like stuff you'd love to, but it was just when we came down, like these people just hit the right mark.
Like
for
you
us.
Could say that, say there's five songs like Miss You, and there wasn't, but let's say there was. But you have to pick one which just pops,
clicks,
right? And Owen's did. His influences and the confidence of his performances is born from obviously being in a hotbed of musical talent in
West
that area.
Ball, yeah.
But Moya Brennan, Mairéad Ní Múine, Enya. You know what I mean? He's also performed at Leo's Tavern, Club EO. You know what I mean?
And he's worked with Moya's daughter, Aisling Jarvis, as well. And, he's done work with Aisling in terms of recording, so there's a connection there as well.
There's good production there, definitely.
Yeah, that's two from West Donegal.
So in terms of moving on, then, is Owen, I mean, the track's there. We know how good a performer he is. Is it stage presence? Is it delivery? Or what will, if he becomes our finalist, what does Owen... and this is not a critique of Owen. I'm not judging Owen on what he does right now, but that's a song that you have to figure out how you're going to deliver it, isn't it? You know what I mean? From a visual perspective.
Well, he's 18, he's young. He gets it. He gets what the listener wants, and it appealed to young people. I'm just thinking of Dermot Kennedy, once again, who we've seen in Dublin again, and that stage present, that bit of, you know, he's got a uniqueness there that'll carry him as Owen Ferry the singer. I think he's got it, you know.
Yeah. I think, Greg, it's a package. I think you referred to it as well before, that, you know, we've seen over the years artists who've come on. I think there's nearly a course there that you can bring artists on. How does, if you talk to Greg Hughes, have a conversation with Greg Hughes or with Paul McDevitt, there's that, there's a stage presence, there's, if you watch, I know Chris Martin is around a long time, but if you watch his interaction, I know he's millions of people, PR people around him, but you see these acts.
Did you see that video of him when he was 18?
No.
He ran up to a camera and he says, we're Coldplay. We're going to be absolutely massive in 2 years' time.
Yeah,
now, we might not be called Coldplay.
Yeah, that's right.
But he popped, you know. And
yeah.
He got, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Right, so Owen Ferry, Miss You. That's our third finalist. And our last finalist for now, our last finalist for this year are The Aphades. The Aphades are Cahir, Graysem, Graysen and Kyle. And they've been around a bit, but I think now, lads, they are getting there. You can see the maturity and the finalisation of everything that they're doing under the Aphades banner, Jimmy.
Yeah, you can just hear it. It's a 17-year-old again. The drums there in the background. Her vocals really good as well. And just it's lovely to have a band in the competition. And just, again, to see that live. I know they were up here, was it about 2 months ago or 6 weeks?
We had a chat with them. Now, we played the track off the computer. But we had a chat with them. But I like them.
Yeah. It's that ability just again to interact and to talk and you know when people are a group, you know, four people. We had a band up on Monday night from Matt and Rye, you know, a four piece, but you know the four of them gel so well. Yeah. Like there was some 16-year-olds and 2 18-year-olds, but they just love what they do and their music and the whole lot, you know.
And I think too that Paul, bands are gonna make a comeback, because if you look at charting bands in top tens and number ones over the last number of years, they're non-existent.
You know.
They are literally non-existent. So the bands need to make a comeback, and this could be it could be happening for them at just the right time.
There's a few bands that have popped up this last while.
Oasis.
Oasis.
Pop back up.
Oasis. But the Aphades are, you know, what I like about them is they're already established. They have a great fan base. You know, they've done shows in Dublin, Belfast, Derry. And they have, once again, they have that package and uniqueness. And I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed, but since we've been doing this last few years, there has been an increase in bands coming in, which is great to see. And what I love about them is the many bands that are coming on here are playing their own original music, which is great. And all credit to the facilities, you know, the pubs and the clubs that now allow original material.
Yeah,
that's
it's a really good point you make there, you know.
Massive help.
You couldn't play I know exactly what you're saying. So, that was The Aphades and their track Given Out. Owen Ferry, his track Missing You. We also have in our finalists, we also have, as he turns his page here, Zoe McCauley from Dunlow and Tessio, a duo from Derry. And we're going to hear them live next Friday. It's in On Green On Theatre. Times to be confirmed, but we are going to effectively, I think we're going to allow people to come in and watch it as well. I like to make these decisions on air because it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
300 plus seat.
And so listen, we'll finalise that and I'll start letting people know on Monday when what the story is, because it's going to be a 9 till noon show type show as well. You lads are going to be there. We're going to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Right. There's going to be no Zoom interviews, nothing serious. It's just going to be a good old fashioned music
and
show.
I think, Greg, for them to bring their family and friends would be brilliant. Create an atmosphere.
Sure.
And don't forget, they're getting 8.75 each, which is lovely.
Nice. Okay.
Nice. Just before we go, and I don't worry, just to thank everybody who contributed this year. The
100%.
Standard was unbelievable. And
we continue to support those acts, no less than you guys as well, because a lot of the acts, we know their names and stuff, because you do so much through your shows in supporting them, which does help develop them and the confidence and everything.
There's no losers.
Yeah,
no.
Paul McDevitt, Jimmy Stafford,
thanks,
both
Greg.
Of you, thank you very much indeed. The lads will be effectively co-hosting that show with me next Friday, so tune in for that. And Jimmy's show is on tonight. He's going to play all four tracks in full. Jimmy, from what time?
From 8 to 10, 8 o'clock.
All right, okay.
The first hour,
and next week we'll focus on how you can get involved in going to the show and all and having fun. It's going to be a bit of fun for a Friday. All right, that's where we have to leave it today. Thanks to all of you for listening and watching and commenting and what have you. We're back with you tomorrow morning from 9. Have a great one.